Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till it's over. Over there. Greetings, guys, from Hollywood, USA, where the stars tonight are big and bright and hoping that you're deep in the heart of the Axis. So on your marks, get set, and let's go with a man who now answers the commands of fighting men from Ireland to Australia and from India to Iceland, your master of ceremonies, Don Ameche.
Thank you, Paul Douglas, and greetings from the USA to the AEF. Most of you know all about the draft board that lines up fighting talent for that big show of yours over there. Well, here in Movie Land, we've created another kind of draft board. We call it the Hollywood Victory Committee, and it drafts the biggest stars on the American entertainment front into the service of you servicemen on the fighting front. Tonight's first letter is from a Red Cross nurse located on a busy little island out on the Pacific. In case the enemy wishes more specific information, it's west of Seattle, east of Suez, north of Miami Beach. And here's what the letter says.
Dear Command Performance, Dunn Station, Pennsylvania, isn't a very big town, but we did have a jukebox. Many a nickel I put in to hear the latest record of the Merrimacks. What's their latest record now? And would you play it for me, please?
Well, we'll do better than that, Nursie. Here is America's greatest singing aggregation in person with the newest Merrimack sensation, Jingle, Jangle, Jingle.
Yippee-yay, there'll be no wedding bells for today.
I got spurs that jingle, jingle,
I got spurs
jingle,
that jingle, jingle,
as I go
jingle,
riding merrily
as
along.
As I go riding merrily
and
along.
They sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you glad
and that song
single?
Ain't so very far
and that
from
song
wrong.
Ain't so very
oh,
far
lily
from
bell,
wrong. Oh, lily bell.
Oh, lily bell.
Oh, lily bell.
Though I may have done some fooling, this is why I never wear.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle,
I got spurs,
jingle.
That jingle, jangle,
as I go
jingle,
riding merrily
as I
along.
Go riding merrily
and they
along.
Sing. Oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you glad
and that song ain't so very far
and
from
that
wrong.
Song ain't so very far from wrong.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding merrily along. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Sally Jane, oh, Sally Jane, though I'd love to stay forever, this is why I can't remain.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding merrily along.
And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Mary Ann, oh, Mary Ann, though we've done some moonlight walking, this is why I up and ran.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle,
I got spurs,
jingle,
that jingle, jingle,
as I go
jingle,
riding merrily
as I go
along,
riding merrily
and they
along.
Sing, oh, ain't you glad
and
you're single?
Oh, ain't you glad
and that
you're
song ain't so very far from
that song
ain't so very far from home.
Ain't so very far from home. So I jingle, jangle, jingle all along.
Thank you, Mary. Now, the gang at France Field down in the canal zone. A fellow who started out as a butcher boy, stopped long enough along the way to become heavyweight boxing champion of the world, and wound up here in Hollywood as an actor. I guess it's not necessary to add that his name is Max Baer.
Thank you, Don Amici.
You're welcome, Max. Pull up a canvas and lie down.
You can make jokes if you wish, Mr. Amici, but it might be of interest to you to know that on my way into the parking lot next door, I knocked the fender off your car.
Well, congratulations. You finally hit something.
Love.
What?
I'll tell you something, Meachie. You don't need to get tough with me. I can still lick you, even if I didn't beat Lewis last October.
Last October? Why, it's been 4 years since you were knocked out by Joe Lewis.
Gee, hit me a lot harder than I thought.
Maxie, I understand you've been sparring a bit with George Raff in order to get into shape for your picture.
That's right. Last night I hit Raff right smack on the chin and he claimed it was a foul.
A foul? How could he claim that? The chin isn't below the belt.
Or George Raff wears his pants any place below the belt.
While you're here, Max, I have an old score to settle with you. I want to make it clear that I didn't like the way you snubbed me the night you fought Lou Nova.
What do you mean, I snubbed you?
Well, I waved to you at the end of the first round, but you didn't wave back.
Well, I'm sorry, Don. I didn't recognize you.
Oh, well, that's okay, Max. At the end of the second round, I didn't recognize you either. But tell me, Max, how do things look for your picture career?
Fine, Don. I'm out at RKO now working in a picture with Pat O'Brien.
Yeah?
I should have started over there 3 weeks ago, but I didn't start until today.
Why, how come?
Well, it seems the director's name is Lewis. When he left a call for me, I thought it was Joe Lewis, and I was afraid to answer the phone.
Your family has had several skirmishes with Mr. Lewis, considering the fact that both you and your brother Buddy have fought him.
Yeah, and we both can lick him, too. There's only one thing wrong.
What's that?
Well, a sissy wants to fight us one at a time. By the way, Don, for an actor, you seem to be in swell physical condition.
Yeah, why not? After all, I take care of myself. I don't stay out late. I don't go to nightclubs. I'm not a ladies' man. I don't drink. And I don't smoke cigars. How about you, Max?
No, I don't smoke cigars either.
Well, that's fine, Max. I'm glad to hear you take such good care of yourself. And now, before you go, is there something you'd like to say to America's fighting men?
Yes, there is, Don. I want to say just this. That it was a sneak punch that the Japs pulled at Pearl Harbor. But the referee saw it. The referee also saw the second over in the Japs' corner. You know, that little jerk with the mustache? We weren't surprised to see him teaming up with the Rising Sun, because he's some kind of a son himself. There's one sure thing you can bet on. We don't know how many rounds this fight is going to go, but it won't be a draw, and it won't go to a decision. It'll be a knockout, and Uncle Sam will win. Because as Gentleman Jim once put it, the best referee in the world is a knockout punch. And that's what you guys are going to deliver.
Thank you very much, Max Baer. Since its inception on March 8th, Command Performance has received and answered a number of rather unusual requests. Perhaps you recall the time we arranged for the lad from Brooklyn to hear the voice of Queenie, his dog. Or the time we recorded the calls of Indiana songbirds and played them for the Hoosier Marine in Ireland. And tonight we answer what we believe is the most unusual request made to date. Now here's the letter dated March 4th at Pearl Harbor and signed by H.F.P. Jr.
Dear Command Performance, heard your broadcast of April 23rd and was so impressed I thought I would send you my one request and desire. Now, I admit I want plenty, but it won't take much of the program's time, so, if you could have Miss Carol Landis just step up to the microphone and sigh, that's all, brother, just sigh, I'll be happy.
Your wish is our command, HFP. Here she is. Glamorous Carol Landis. For H.F.P. Jr. at Pearl Harbor, Carol Landis will now sigh. That was it, fellas. The sigh that was heard round the world. Thank you, Miss Carol Landis. Now for five fighting men on Midway Island who used to be Tar Heels down at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, their fellow alumnus John Scott Trotter fires a musical salute with his brilliant arrangement of Peter and the Wolf. Thank you. John Scott Trotter. And now, in response to a letter from Private First Class B.L.J. in North Ireland and the Jungle Mudders of Panama, the century's most famous Greek philosopher reveals one of history's greatest romantic secrets, what Mark Antony said to Cleopatra in her tent on that unforgettable morning on the Nile. Here's the man who will tell you all about it, the Greek ambassador of goodwill, George Gibbet.
Gentlemen of the United Snaps, it's with a grap notch of enthusiasm that I graze into your radiator phases through this microfui. As the Greek ambassador for goodwill, it is my duty. It is my double duty. In other words, it's my duty. To tell you what Mark Antony is was said to Cleopatra Puss when he visited her tent 6:30 in the morning. Now, what do you suppose Mark Antony is was said to Cleopatra Puss when he visited her tent 6:30 in the morning? Huh? You have to say something. He don't come to play Gin Rummy. He don't say like William Shakespeare's Hamlet, to be or not to you. He don't make cracks like that. He don't say, step up closer, the next guy might be barefooted. He don't make cracks like that. And he don't say like Vic Knight, day by eats and more by better, I get less by day and more by night. He don't make crocks like that. Mark Antony is once said to Cleopatra Puss. He says, Cleo, I am a general in the Roman army, and I come here to roam around a little bit. And before I get lost, he says, I'm going to tell you about the world's greatest ancient Greek philosophers. To this day, one of the world's greatest thinkers. A kid by the name of Socrates. Socrates. He was the teacher of Pluto. Or Plato. Pluto was that Indian philosopher. His tribe called him Running Water. Socrates was a self-made man. Of course, his father helped out a little bit. When Socrates was a young man, he was working in a bloomer factory, pulling down a couple thousand a year. Nice work if you can get it. That was a political job. You gotta have some pull to get it. That's where he met his future wife, and that's when he pulled his first bloomer. It's Mike's first mistake. When he first meet his future wife, Xantippe her name, he fascinate her. When he unfascinate her, she slap his face. And he says, now, wait a minute, kid. He says, take her easy. He says, take her easy. I don't hurt you. I soothe your nerves with poultry. Poultry by that great Greek poet who write more poultry as anybody else put together. A kid by the name of Anonymous. He's still writing. He write one poetical is so gorgeous, I must precipitate that for you. It's go like this. 30 days has got September, April, June in Kentucky. All the rest I'm don't be sure except Los Angeles, where the weather is most unusual. Something wrong with that. He write another one. This was an old lady from Wheeling. No. You know that one. So, says Socrates, I soothe your nerves with logic. You can prove anything by the use of logic. It was proved to me by the use of logic that a loaf of bread is a mother to a locomotive. A loaf of bread is a mother to a locomotive because a loaf of bread is a necessity. A locomotive is an invention. Necessity is the mother of invention. How do you like that?
Thank you, George Gibbon. You know, fellas, there's a special room next door to your command performance office filled with letters from men like Private J.J.B. in Hawaii, whose girlfriend Rosemary waits for him back in Indiana. And men like those 175 fellows who signed their letter in Dutch Guiana. And Yeoman H.J.J. down in Brazil. And the gang who speak of 100,000 G.I. ears listening to command performance at Sunday morning breakfast. And hundreds more. Divulging the contents of these particular letters is not giving away any military secret, but it does pay tribute to one of the finest guys in American show business. Fellas, here's the answer to thousands of your letters. Bing Crosby.
Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland. You're the fairest flower that Erin ever grew. All the blarney in her talk took him back to old New York, where his mother spoke the sweetest blarney too. Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland, and she stole his heart with smiling eyes of blue. He said, darling, 'tis my duty to make an American beauty of a sweet Irish rose like you.
Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland. Sure the fairest flower that Erin ever grew. Oh, the blarney in her talk took him back to old New York, where his mother spoke the sweetest blarney too.
Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland, and she stole his heart with smiling eyes of blue. He said, darling, 'tis my duty to make an American beauty of a sweet Irish rose like you.
Thank you, Bing Crosby. Thanks to the music maids and Hal for their assistance. Now for the Fighting Blue Jackets of the Isthmus and the Arkansas Travelers at APO 939, Command Performance is happy to present that cinematic screwball, that figure of fluttery fun, that lovable wackaroo, Hugh Herbert.
Oh, dear. Thank you very much. Now, don't bother me. Don't bother me. I'm very busy, very busy. Now, very busy. Don't bother me. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Hey, Hugh, huh? What is this tick-tock? What are you doing?
Oh, tick-tock, very simple. I broke my watch yesterday. While it's being fixed, I'm keeping time for myself. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. I'm a clock. Tick-tock.
Hey, Hugh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah?
A human being can't be a clock.
That's all. You're just jealous, that's all. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
All right, if you are a clock, suppose you tell me what time it is.
Let's see, it's 8 o'clock.
It's 8:30.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I must be slow. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Hey, wait a minute. Listen, we got to be serious. This is command performance,
yeah?
A program heard by our boys in service all over the world, in Australia, Ireland, Hawaii, Burma.
Oh, Burma. Wonderful place. I was once kissing a girl in Burma when her husband walked in. Never forget Burma. Oh, it was a close shave. Woo!
Oh, come on, Hugh, come on. Let's get down to brass tacks.
All right, Don, all right. You get down to brass tacks, then I'll get down to brass tacks. Oh, I guess I got down a little too far. Woo!
Hugh, now look, before we go any further, what is that woo-woo?
Woo-woo! Oh, that's just a figure of speech, Like Lana Turner, or is that just a figure?
You wouldn't ask. You ever saw the young lady in a sweater?
Mm-mm. A sweater? It's a Lana Turner sweater. Well, you know the old saying, you only get out of a sweater what you put into it. Woo!
You, listen, now settle down, will you? That's enough of this nonsense. What are you going to do tonight for command performance?
Oh, I'm going to talk to the United States Engineer Corps about the secret weapons that I've invented for the Army.
You an inventor?
Yeah, inventor.
Oh, that's very funny.
Well, what are you laughing at? You got a right to laugh. What did you ever invent outside of the telephone?
You saw the picture, too, huh?
Yeah.
Look, Hugh, if you really are an inventor, just what are some of these great secret weapons of yours?
Oh, wonderful. New secret bulletproof vest. Very bulletproof.
Well, say, that's wonderful,
yeah.
Hugh. A real bulletproof vest would be the greatest safety device of the age. What's it made out of?
Kleenex.
Now, Hugh, you can't actually expect me to believe that there's any safety in a vest made out of Kleenex.
Why not? Got one of my vests right here with me tonight. Just try it on, Amici, and I'll shoot a bullet at you. Bang, bang, bang,
hold
bang,
it, hold
bang.
Hold it, hold it. Wait, huh? Not so fast. Has this vest ever been tested out on anyone before?
Absolutely. Took it out of the firing range at Fort MacArthur last week. Tested it out on a chicken.
How was it?
Delicious.
That's the last straw. Why, the very idea of suggesting that an American soldier wear a Kleenex bulletproof vest is treasonous. A man could be shot for that.
Oh, that's what they keep telling me down at the court-martial all the time.
Court-martial?
Yeah.
You mean to say that you actually submitted that to the United States Army? Mm-hmm. What are you, dope?
Oh, no, but the difference isn't worth quibbling about. No.
Oh, you and your inventions. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, how about my double-edged African bush knife? For jungle fighters. Very sharp. Sharpest blade in the world.
Now, where did you get a hold of the sharpest blade in the world?
I used to use it in vaudeville. Used to saw a woman in two. Finally married her.
Now, just a minute, you. You mean to say that you married a woman you used to saw in two?
Yeah, come up to the house sometime and meet the better half. Woo-hoo. Oh. Pretty corny.
Hugh, you're incorrigible. Kleenex, vest, African bush knives. Haven't you invented anything practical?
Practical? Always a doubt. My own fault. Give a man an inch, he wants a foot. Give a man a foot, he wants a yard. The man a yard, he puts a dog in it. Yeah, get that dog out of here. Oh, get those dogs out of here.
Well, now answer my question, will you? Have you or have you not invented anything practical?
Of course. My latest secret weapon is for the Air Corps. Sent it up there last week to my old friend, Lieutenant Jimmy Stewart.
Who?
Jimmy Stewart. You remember the fellow with the high forehead and the low draft number?
Yeah. Now look, you. What's this great invention of yours like? How does it work?
Oh, very simple. All you need for this for the invention is a carrier pigeon and a parrot.
A pigeon and a parrot?
A pigeon and a parrot. Now you take the pigeon, load them up with hot pepper, then you send them off to the front line with the parrot.
Well, what do they do then?
Well, the pigeon and the parrot fly over the enemy lines, and they see a Jap about to shoot.
Yeah.
Then they both land on the Jap's shoulder. The pigeon blows the pepper in the Jap's face. The pepper goes in the Jap's nose, so he has to drop his gun and sneeze. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, yeah, but what's the parrot for?
Oh, to say Gesundheit.
Thank you, and good night to you, Herbert.
Yeah, good night, Don. Good night. So long, fellas. And don't forget, keep away from that goose step. Goose step. Woo!
Thank you, Hugh Herbert. And now, Command Performance puts out the welcome mat for the third visit of a gal from Dixie, who has won just about everybody's poll, including that of the armed forces, as the singing sensation of 1942. Here she is, men, Miss Dinah Shore.
I I went to bed last evening feeling blue as I could be. I couldn't sleep last evening for what was worrying me. All the tears I've wasted would surely fill the deep blue sea. I've got those sigh about him, cry about him, Lordy, where am I without him blue? He keeps me walking on the floor, and like a fool I ask for more. Although I know he isn't good, I wouldn't leave him if I could, I know. I'm not the first on his list, I'd never be missed. I wish I had a dime for every girl he's kissed, I swear. I'd be a millionaire. And yet I wouldn't care as long as I could get my share. I've got those mad about him, sad about him. How can I be glad without him blue? He makes my dreams go up in smoke, and then he treats it like a joke. He's just an ordinary sort of guy, and yet I love him till I die. Poor me. I've got those mad about him, sad about him. How can I be glad without him blue?
Thank you, Miss Dinah Shore. Well, fellas, there are only 30 minutes in a half hour, and we've come to the point where the newspaper man would say, that's 30 for tonight. Each week and every week at the same time, the stars of the American entertainment front will be all out just for you. But right now, we've got to ring down the curtain on another command performance. One of these fine days, it'll be time to ring down the curtain on that bigger and better performance of yours out there. And when that curtain goes down, believe me, the rising sun will go down with it and stay there forever with all the other sons of the Axis.
Thanks for those letters, men, and keep on sending them into the station to which you're listening. We'll answer them on command performance as fast as we can. And remember, the Axis gambled on a quick victory, but America raised the ante. And when the last hand is dealt, the Axis will know that Uncle Sam doesn't use tiddlywinks for chips. Brother, he uses manhole covers.